T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Oh yeah, the Weekend Report is on your radio, and we appreciate you listening to it. My name is Tony Colombo. Thank you for being here. I'm with, of course, my partner, Chris Arps.
You sound a little nasally. You got
a
cold?
I got a little bit of a thing.
All right.
Yep. Sinus infection.
We got a lot to talk about. You think Skip will let us use a little of his time?
Mm-hmm. Skip is not here today.
Never mind.
but look.
The Skip rock and roll show.
We'll get right in. Oh, you want his
yeah,
time.
Yeah, can we get a little bit?
I see what you're saying. But I'm glad you brought that up. Skip Weber is not here this week. That doesn't mean, however, that the Weird News Challenge is not going to happen. The Weird News Challenge is going to happen, and it is going to be an extremely special episode, never before seen or heard version of the Weird News Challenge. 3 special guests.
Ah.
3 St. Louis radio legends. Trish Gazelle from 102.5.
I don't have a chance.
No, you're not playing. You're co-hosting with me.
Great. Okay.
I'm telling you, we're going crazy today.
This is special.
Trish Gazelle from 102.5,
okay.
Jill Devine from Y98, and Tim Convey from Y98 are all going to come in, and they are going to compete in the Weird News Challenge. It's Tim and Jill's first ever appearance, so I think Trish has the advantage.
Definitely.
And we're going to have a special category that I will reveal later. But special category, because we have 3 St. Louis legends, mm-hmm. we're going to have a special category.
And I think because there are 2 new members, the Katie Bailey rule should be in effect.
Okay. I'll leave it up to
Trish
them.
Trish is all
but
on
I bet,
that.
Yeah. I'll leave it up to them, but we'll see. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That gives her an even bigger advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right.
I know from personal experience.
So that's happening in a little bit. It's going to be in the second hour of the show. Well, I was going to wait to promote that, but, you know, Chris yells
always
out
throws
Skip
a monkey.
Weber, so we just, you know, start going that way.
Chris throws a monkey wrench in the
also,
show.
Also in the studio with us today is Brian McKenna, producer, probably the brand new producer of this fine program. Ryan Wiggins is here, but he's on his way out because he's going to the Dave Glover Show.
Yay!
Right? We can talk about that, right?
Can we talk about that?
We can make that announcement,
good,
right?
Good. We've already talked about it.
I was going to say, we've made that announcement, right? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So Ryan Wiggins is here for one more week, but Brian's here. And then we've got the producer situation. We've got Tim Convey and Jill Devine coming in for the first time to play the Weird News Challenge. And we've got some other great guests lined up for you today. Mm-hmm. We are going to be talking in the next segment, actually, to Michael Butler. He is the St. Louis Recorder of Deeds, but he's bringing some guests. And Chris, talk about what we're going to talk to Mr. Butler about.
Michael Butler is the newly elected St. Louis Recorder of Deeds, and he also is the chairman of the St. Louis City Democratic Central Committee. And they had a vote this week to not be in favor of a St. Louis City-County merger. So we're going to be talking to him and 2 other people that are on the committee to talk about that decision. And I don't know what could have prompted it, Tony, but we'll see what see how that came about.
Yeah, always interesting when it comes to Better Together and City-County merger, all of this stuff happening with that. Also coming up a little bit later on, we are going to talk to Tim Fitch, who is a member of the St. Louis County Council, mm-hmm. which, of course, had its hands full this week dealing with the Steve Stanger situation and having to vote to replace the county executive.
Yes, there's a little controversy that was involved in that as well.
So we'll talk to Tim Fitch about the process that went into selecting Council Chairman Sam Page mm-hmm. to become the new county executive, and why the county decided to go that direction, mm-hmm. and also just get some reaction and insight to the situation surrounding Mr. Stanger. So why don't we start there? We'll start the show with what we call the week in review. Steve Stanger indicted earlier this week, federal pay-to-play sting operation. He was accepting money to give city contracts to insurance companies and some other companies. Just let's start with your initial reaction when you heard the news earlier this week that this indictment was coming down on the county executive.
Well, Tony, I think we've seen once again that text messages and emails are a prosecutor's friend in the 21st century. That's what helped bring down Steve Stanger. Apparently, one of his people that worked for him was wearing a wire. And as we saw in the 44-page indictment, there were explicit conversations dealing with graft and corruption. And so I think the county executive saw the handwriting on the wall and the potential prison term he could be facing. And his super lawyer, Scott Rosenblum, cut a deal. And yesterday, Friday, he pleaded guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a little slack from some people during the week when I was on Mark's show because I offered my prayers and sympathy to Steve Stanger.
I
texted him, and that, you know, showing a little empathy in some people's mind meant that I was condoning what the county executive was charged with, which I don't condone it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with showing a little empathy to folks, especially when you have kind of a relationship with them. It's a sad situation to see this.
I was listening that morning, and I understand where you're coming from, extending your sympathy.
Were you mad at me, too?
No, I'm not mad at you for doing that. My question is, though, do you feel like the Steve Stanger got what he deserved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely got what he deserved. And I think the reason that he pleaded guilty to these three count indictments was because they had plenty more indictments to come. And as an attorney friend told me, once they start stacking up indictments on you, that's when you start getting into minimum prison sentences. And so I think, again, Steve Stanger saw the handwriting on the wall and said, this is the best deal I can probably cut for myself, is pleading guilty to these three charges.
What effect does this have on the county? And what effect does this have on city-county mergers?
Well, I always say, you know, when you talk about a governor or a county executive or a mayor, they are the leader temporarily until they leave office or, you know, or voted out of office. So I don't think Steve Stanger is St. Louis County. I think the Better Together effort is definitely going to be more derailed because of this action. But I don't think it will stop Rex Sinkfield and the political operatives that are behind this. Because if you remember, Tony, the whole strategy of Better Together is to get this passed outstate. They don't really care what St. Louis County residents think.
Right.
So as long as they can move forward and convince outstate people that this is good for St. Louis City and county and for the state— it's a full steam ahead.
There is a bill making its way through the Missouri legislature, though, that I think people should be aware of that would force the vote to be a local city-county vote, which talk about another derailment of the Better Together city-county merger situation. I said on the radio earlier this week, before the county council made its decision to put Sam Page in that seat, that I was sure they were going to put someone in that spot that was as pro-merger as Stanger was. Because a lot of the momentum, let's be honest, there's very few, at least people that I can find anywhere, there are very few people in government, both city, like local to the city and local to the state. There are very few people that I can find in the media. There are very few people that I can find that I talk to on the street that are supportive of the merger. But two people that were very supportive and had a lot of power to sort of pull this thing along was Lyda Crewson and Steve Stanger, county executive, and of course the mayor of St. Louis. Now they lose one of those two big proponents of the measure, and I thought for sure that the new person would sort of take that same spot, but I'm hearing, I don't know, this is a question that I'm going to have for Tim Fitch a little bit later on, but I'm hearing that maybe Sam Page is not as supportive of the city-county merger. That could be devastating. Yeah.
No, I think Sam Page is
and
not
I'm crying about
yeah.
it.
I think Sam Page is not supporting the merger. Sam Page comes across to me as a politician who sticks his finger in the wind and sees the way the public sentiment goes, and he sees that the public sentiment is not for this. Traditionally, when a county executive leaves the office, the person that is replaced has to be of the same party of the person that's left. So it had to be a Democrat.
And as far as I could tell, that was the only stipulation.
And well, that is. And I think that if the county council would have brought in someone from the outside, even if it was a Democrat, I think Democrats and Republicans would have been up in arms over this. It really was going to be somebody from the council that was going to be the next county executive.
Sure.
And I don't know anybody on the council that supports a city-county merger.
Wow.
So I'm not very, very surprised that Sam Page is the one. What did surprise me, though, was, you know, traditionally the person that takes over the county executive spot is the senior most person on the council, and that would be Hazel Irby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the controversy came out a little bit, because the other black county councilwoman, Rochelle Walton, mm-hmm. was the one that nominated Sam Page to be the county executive, effectively undercutting Hazel. And when this all came about, a lot of the council members, and we can talk with Fitch about this, said they had no idea that Hazel was interested in the job, but she has said otherwise, that she made her intentions known that she wanted the job. But she has taken the big picture and has supported Sam and has said she has moved on, and that's the end of it.
Well, this is a perfect show to be listening to today then, because when we will be talking to Tim Fitch, who's on the county council, at the beginning of hour number two. So we'll get some more insight on the situation that why Sam Page was selected to replace Steve Stanger and not Hazel Irby. You also get an insight on how the council feels about mm-hmm. city-county merger. Also coming up in the next segment, like I mentioned, Michael Butler, the St. Louis Recorder of Deeds and the chairman of the Democratic Central Committee, will talk about Better Together and mm-hmm. how his group, the Democratic Central Committee, has now come out against the merger. So we'll get more details on all those stories from some folks in the know here in just a few minutes. Want to shift to Kimberly Gardner. How are you feeling about the judge ruled against Kimberly Gardner this week, allowed the police to come in and seize some of her computer hard drives and stuff pertinent to the special investigation into her office. How bad are things for Kimberly Gardner?
You know, no pun intended, but I am not Detective Columbo. But I think anybody can see that Kim Gardner is hiding something and is going to extraordinary lengths to hide something. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out here and be honest, man. If Kim Gardner wasn't black and a female, there's no way that she would be, any other person would have been allowed to basically thumb their nose at the Missouri Supreme Court and at federal and in a couple of judge decisions. This is plainly somebody doesn't want to look like they're racist or misogynist and really don't want to do what needs to be done and go get the service. Even though they got some of the servers, I heard they still don't have all the information that they're looking for.
So and this all relates back to her office's investigation into former Governor Greitens last year and some improper steps taken by William Tisby, who was hired by Kimberly Gardner to be a part of that investigation. Yeah. So the way that she behaved a year ago in the Greitens investigation is the reason that she's going through all this right now. Is she going to survive this?
I think we just have
to
wait.
You are good at making predictions.
I think we will. Thank you. I think
you really are.
I think we just have to wait and see what comes out once the police have the servers and they go through that forensically and see what's on it. And once that's released and we see what is she trying to hide, then I think we start talking about the fate of her future.
Mm-hmm. Let's do one national story before we take a break and get Michael Butler in here. Trump and the Democrats agree. Let's end on a fairly positive story. Well, it depends on how you look at it. because it's a positive story if you like partisanship, yeah. because Trump and the Democrats agree. It's not a positive story mm-hmm. if you don't like the country spending money it doesn't have. $2 trillion to go towards infrastructure agreed upon by the president and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. We don't hear those words very yeah. often. Is this yeah. The right deal for the country?
You know, Tony, you heard me yesterday say on the Dave Glover show that this infrastructure bill thingamajig will never happen. The Democratic Party will not give Donald Trump a huge victory like this in an election year. If you remember just the other day, Joe Biden got the endorsement of the Firefighters Union, and the people that will be involved in this infrastructure bill doing the actual work will be union members. So that's the last thing they want to do for President Trump to get a victory in that. And to show you that they're not really serious about this, they loaded up the infrastructure bill with all of this green energy stuff that's going to be dead on arrival in any mm-hmm. bill. But they'll be able to say, hey, we tried to do an infrastructure bill. The president and Republicans don't care about the environment. So this is political on both sides.
All right.
But this won't see the light of day.
That's going to wrap up this first segment, the Week in Review. But I have more stories from this week that I want to get to a little bit later on in the hour. A little tease here. You might see me get a little hot today.
Uh-oh.
The situation that happened on Capitol Hill on Thursday with Representative Steve Cohen and Jerry Nadler and the bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and the toy chicken put in Attorney General Barr's seat.
So you think they should have had churches?
Oh.
Instead of KFC?
The issue? I am hot. I am hot. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. So we'll get to some more stories. And but coming up next, we're going to have Michael Butler, new St. Louis Recorder of Deeds and the chairman of the Democratic Central Committee. We're going to be talking about that organization's opposition to Better Together. Next, don't go anywhere. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here in studio with my partner Chris Arps. Brian McKenna on the wheels of steel. Ryan Wiggins just watching. Training. He's out of here. He's got one step out the door, Chris.
He does.
You know how it goes.
I feel good to help him with his career, I think.
Yeah.
Can I help your career in some small way?
Yeah.
Can I respond to these allegations?
Turn his mic off.
I want to just mention this real quick. Before we talk to our guest, Rachel Zimmerman was the first producer of this show. She's now the co-host of the Dave Glover Show. Then we had Katie Fitzpatrick, Katie Bailey, then now Katie Fitzpatrick, who's the executive producer of the Annie Fry Show. Then we had Zach Factor.
Yeah.
He is now the associate producer of the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Ryan Wiggins, who has just been announced as the new executive producer of the Dave Glover Show.
Yeah.
Everybody's moved on to
and
bigger
like
and better
Katie
things.
Bailey, I'm getting married. Yeah. I'm going to change my name soon.
Ah, so, there you go.
Thank you, guys.
Because I was like, well, this guy really doesn't have a lot of talent. We'll have him for a while.
Just an early congratulations to Brian McKenna, who will probably get his own show.
Exactly.
In like 2 weeks because he was the producer of the Weekend Report.
I'll be taking Jeff Allen's job.
There you go. So congratulations again, Ryan. Sure. Brian, thanks for being here. And also thank you, big thank you for being here to our guest who is in studio with us. Michael Butler is the brand new St. Louis Recorder of Deeds, first African-American ever elected to that office. So congratulations on that, sir. And also the chairman of the City of St. Louis Democratic Central Committee. What's the parameters on that?
All the city we're the party for the Democratic Party for the city.
Chairman of the Democratic Central Committee. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today. So we were in the last segment. We were kind of running through some of the issues that big stories that have hit the city this week. Steve Stanger, of course, probably the headline as far as local news is concerned. But I wanted to have you in here to discuss specifically the situation with Better Together, that organization, and of course, that revolving around the city-county merger. Steve Stanger was such a big proponent of that move, and we were just mentioning in the last segment that having, at the time, Steve Stanger, the county executive, and the mayor of the city, Lyda Crewson, sort of both being so in favor of that was really plowing the road for that movement, even though there seems to be a lot of resistance in mm-hmm. other places, and how much maybe of a damage has been done to the merger situation now that Stanger is no longer in office. You guys announced this week, the Democratic Central Committee, this week have announced that you guys are also opposed to Better Together and city-county merger. Could you talk about why you made that decision?
Yes. First, we are opposed to Better Together as a proposal and the statewide ballot initiative. We voted 38-0 and with two abstentions. So it was pretty almost unanimous against Better Together. And we're a month before the St. Louis County Central Committee vote, and the party that represents St. Louis County voted against the Better Together proposal. I think it's important to know that the party is speaking separately than some city leaders and some county leaders, and it's overwhelmingly against this plan. Why mm-hmm. we're against is, after reading the proposal and the report, it starts out talking about racial equity and, you know, the death of Mike Brown, and the solutions to racial equity actually don't solve racial equity. Most of the introduction is,
amen.
The first four pages are pretty much trying to pick up off the Ferguson Commission report, and the solutions don't talk to the solutions in the Ferguson Commission report. One thing, it actually reduces African-American equity in politics. So you want greater racial equity, but the report shows how it actually takes African-American representation in the city from 50% down to 30% in a combined area. And it just doesn't work for racial mm-hmm. equity. The second thing is what I read in the report and what I think a lot of my colleagues talked about is a lot of the finances that seem to be contradictory. There's been announced that it could save the city billions of dollars over a 10-year period. You just don't see that in the numbers in the report. You just don't see, and you don't see the detail where they get that money. Now what they'll clearly say is, and what I've said several times, is that if my job were to go away as a recorder of deeds in the interest of efficiency, I totally understand that. I would not be mad. I can go get another position. But if my job were to go away just so a magic number can be created, that's not good policy.
Right.
And the finances that I think Better Together are reporting and proposing, it just doesn't match up. Lastly, I do realize that a lot of the issues in the report and a lot of solutions, about 80% of those solutions in the proposal have to deal only with St. Louis County. It deals singularly with that a lot of people agree with is some of the municipalities in the county that can work better, that can work together. Now, I'll use the term can work better together, but we don't have that problem in the city. Mm-hmm. We're one municipality and we're one county. Why do we have to combine the city and the county to reduce the amount of municipalities in the county? Mm-hmm. Steve Stanger should have solved that himself. I mean,
right?
We could have, if the county.
Yeah,
has
it's a
problem,
county yes, issue.
Yes, that's
not a city
issue. Exactly. Why do we need to merge?
Yeah.
So
and the city has its own issues that it needs to deal
Correct.
With.
Correct. Absolutely.
That's why you have the two bodies of government to deal with their own stuff.
Issues. Yeah. Agreed. So I don't see it working.
You know, the one thing I've said, the remarkable thing about Better Together, even with all its controversy, it's managed to bring black and white people, Democrats and Republicans, conservative, liberal, city and county together to be against this merger. I don't know about you, Michael, but the thing that really surprised me the most about this effort is how can you talk about reuniting city and county when you have a black population of probably half of that, especially in the city, and you don't talk to any elected black elected officials? I don't know. Was Lacey Clay contacted about Better Together? Was his input given? Was your input given?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't believe the Congress was a part of the. Looking at the report, the folks that were listed as a task force, it's mm-hmm. important to know that the African-American, the few African-Americans that are in the entire There are over 30 people on the main board. Mm-hmm. There are only three African Americans there on the board. None of them live in North City or North County. Mm-hmm. Only one of them lives in North County. Of the task force, there were five folks on the main task force. Only one African American. She does not live in North City or North County.
And they're not even from St. Louis,
well,
are they?
Yeah, the one that's on the small task force is not even from St. Louis. So there wasn't a lot of input, especially from African American communities, especially with a report that's supposed to solve racial equity.
Would that have made a difference if they would have gotten black import? Do you support a city-county merger in principle, but it's just the way that it's going about that's wrong? Or are there aspects of this that you can support?
I'm glad you asked that. I think the city-county merger will happen sometime in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I've publicly said that to folks.
Tony and I will
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it can be a good thing if it's done correctly.
Yeah. Tony and I will be in Jefferson County and Lincoln County and St. Charles County.
Well, but I've said...
Man, you just said something that's very important. Yeah. I think that, you know, good cities are built upon one thing, and that's growth.
Yes.
And if you want to talk about city-county merger, you have to include St. Charles County. The fastest growing area in our region is St. Charles County.
Do you know how many people that are listening to this right now from St. Charles County are running off or have a running off of the road hearing you say that? Yeah.
It'll be an even faster growing region if this happens. It's already fast.
So to my friends in St. Charles County, hey, take a look at the report. It may not include your county now, but it could include your county later.
Yeah, so we're talking to Michael Butler. He's the St. Louis Recorder of Deeds, the chairman of the Democratic Central Committee. It feels like all of these people, Democrats, Republicans, just, you know, people on the street, politicians, people in the media, are all screaming that this is a bad idea, but it just still feels like this looming dark cloud that is just unstoppable and is just, despite all these bad setbacks, these, you know, these reports that have come out. We had the report from the college professors that came out a year ago that just pretty much contradicted everything that Better Together said and said that their whole research project was wrong. We've had the Steve Stanger situation, mm-hmm. but it keeps on moving ahead. Do you feel like that this is an inevitable thing, the way it is now, the Better Together plan, do you feel like it's just an inevitable thing that's going to happen? Or do you think that eventually, you know, groups like your group teaming up with Republicans and people in the media can actually stop this thing?
I think we can actually stop it. I think it's less likely to happen. I think it's about a 40% chance.
That's great. I love to hear that.
I don't think it's inevitable. I think why we're still talking about it is there's so much money involved in it. And mm-hmm. the money, the folks who have money who are supporting Better Together are gonna continue to push it until the last day.
Yeah.
There have been proposals like this. Let's say the transportation tax that was supported by a lot of money and proposed years ago, about a few years ago, didn't pass. There was a gas tax that was proposed about 4 or 5 years ago that didn't pass. Mm-hmm. That was supported by a lot of money. This has been done before. I mean, the fight against the earnings tax. About 6 years ago, that had a whole lot of money. That didn't pass in full, but a portion, another part passed. But there's always been these big policy ideas that loom for a while, and even big money tends to lose quite a bit.
Yeah. So as violently as I have spoken out against this plan for merger, I have said, and you just mentioned too, that there could be a way of working it out. I've mentioned that 90 whatever municipalities mm-hmm. in St. Louis County is too many. I get it. I could get behind a plan for some sort of consolidation. Just so you know, I'm a Florissant resident mm-hmm. and born and raised in the Florissant Hazelwood area, still there with my family, and that's I cool. love Florissant, and I don't want to lose Florissant. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose. I want my mayor. I want my police department. Mm-hmm. I don't want it all merged together, but mm-hmm. I can understand that 90 whatever municipalities is too many. What are some things as far as consolidation is concerned are things that you could get on board with and would agree with? What are there any aspects of Better Together that are like that or things that you would personally want to add that could create some sort of consolidation that you would be okay
with? Yeah, I think it's important to note that you know, consolidation is not a bad thing, and I agree that's not a bad thing. But forced consolidation usually creates rebellion, and usually creates is a bad thing. We can look at the city of Houston. City of Houston was, when it first created, it was actually about the size of St. Louis. Geographically, it wasn't, you know, 50 years ago, Houston was not as big as it is. Mm-hmm. Houston didn't force itself on other municipalities around it. It actually annexed municipalities over mm-hmm. a course of decades, and then it just grew. And
naturally
grew and
evolved.
Yes, and that was an amicable situation where both sides agreed, and Houston, and yeah. it came into the Houston fold. So there's a I also have a saying that I don't believe that a single governance structure, there's not one single governance structure that is the right way to govern. Mm-hmm. What you need best, and this is to the, in a sense, people agree on this week, is you need good leaders. Good leaders mm-hmm. actually can make a city better no matter what the governance structure is. Mm-hmm. And until we get the right leaders in place that can bring us results, we won't see the results. Like, we can get better together instead of a bad leader. I use the analogy, as you know, you can give a 4-year-old a Corvette, but Mario Andretti's going to be in the middle of Fusion every day.
Right.
I mean, the 4-year-old can't even turn that thing on.
Yeah, exactly.
But, put Mario Andretti in my Fusion, he's going to drag, on a bicycle, exactly. So it matters who's driving the government more than what the actual government is.
Yeah. Michael, let's switch gears for a minute. Let's go national. You are a local elected leader, Democrat. Mm-hmm. Give us your assessment of the Democratic presidential field right now. Is there someone that you are leaning towards? And who's going to be the eventual nominee, do you think?
Go ahead and give us an in-depth breakdown of all 20 candidates yeah. running for nothing.
In 2 minutes.
Oh, man, I thought there were 40.
there will be by next week.
I think a challenge primary is actually a very good thing for the Democratic Party. Just look at what happened in the last Republican gubernatorial election. Mm-hmm. There was a very challenged governor election, and the one guy nobody thought was gonna win actually won that race and had a good opportunity to do some great things. I think that I haven't picked a candidate mm-hmm. yet. Mm-hmm. I do feel like we need somebody fresh. We do need a new face. I do think that I think we need somebody with new ideas. I think our government is designed right now for 1960, 1970. We've been arguing about the same issues since Roe versus Wade was litigated. Our country is not stuck on some of these issues from the 70s, 80s. I mean, we have a Congress that didn't even know how to, interview Mark Zuckerberg.
Yep.
I mean, we've got new issues, and I think I would like to hear a presidential candidate from either side to talk about 2019 issues.
Is Joe Biden that guy? He's leading right now.
He's not a fresh face.
I don't think Joe Biden's the guy, but I think Joe Biden does understand today's issues.
Yeah.
I think having been vice president for so long, and I think he is a leader that I can describe that he would be a Mario Andretti in a Corvette.
We're running out of time, so I want to kind of get through a couple of these as quick as possible. Do you think that the Democratic Party in general, locally, federally, You mentioned fresh faces, and I can understand that desire for wanting younger, fresher faces, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. However, many of those younger, fresher faces are running extremely to the left, some people would even brand it as socialism. Do you feel like the party's getting pulled too far to the left, or do you think that's the right direction for it?
I think a lot of the new solutions that new members, especially folks in Congress, are bringing are not left, they're just out of the box, and then they're being pegged as way far to the left.
Okay.
I think that's
one way to say it.
I would like to read some of their proposals and see exactly what the results it will have. But I think that we get put in a box from left to right quite a bit, where there are some ideas that are nonpartisan that don't necessarily have to be decided as a good or bad just based on who
Michael, what box would you put Medicare for All in?
Medicare for All, yes. I'd put that out of the box. I think we saw in Bernie Sanders' town hall, there were a lot of conservatives who agree with Medicare for All. I mean, we see a whole lot, we know there are a lot of Republican counties who folks are on Medicaid and on Medicare already and who really enjoy their Social Security. I mean, getting help from the government is not a left, it really shouldn't be a left or right issue. Yeah. It's just a helping people issue.
Let's stay on the same team with Better Together and get that defeated, and then we'll argue about Medicare for All.
Maybe we'll be on the same team.
We'll see. Probably not, but we'll see. That is Michael Butler. He is the brand new St. Louis Recorder of Deeds. He's also the chairman of the Democratic Central Committee. Before we let you go, real quick, a brief civics lesson for those out there, because that is something that is so lost in today's discussion.
I have no idea what he does, to be honest with you.
Explain the recording. Explain what your job is as Recorder of Deeds. What are you responsible for?
As a recorder, I'm an executive in an executive level position in City Hall that requires an election. We handle all birth certificates, death certificates, marriage licenses, as well as all the archives of the city, and of course, all the land deeds.
Yes.
So we keep all the important documents, and if you ever need an important document, come to us, and we provide it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to go get... We lost a birth certificate for one of my kids, and when we moved to this new company about a year ago here at the radio station, I had to provide that information for insurance purposes and had to go down to
the
Recorder of Deeds office and get that taken care of.
Now you got the hookup.
Now I do. I'm going to call you.
Well, our hope is that you don't have to come to City Hall, that you can do it all online. Can you imagine?
Let's get that going.
2019.
It was an easier – I was dreading it, and it was a shorter process than – I thought it was going to be.
Thank you.
However, I was saying to myself, why can't we do this online? So if you're able to bring in that direction,
if only a presidential candidate can talk about government efficiency online, then maybe they get my support.
Yep. Michael Butler, I hope we get a chance to have you back here on the show. We'd love to talk to you as this issue with Better Together and city-county merger goes forward. If people want to keep up with you and what you're doing, both as the Recorder of Deeds and with the Democratic Central Committee, do you have any websites, social media, anything like that you want to put out there?
My website's michaelbutler.org, and you can find me on social media at Recorder Butler.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much. I hope to have you back soon.
Thank you. You will.
Thank you, Michael.
We got to take a break, but we got more We Can Report coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
Nothing on this way could have been closer than you and me. Wherever you were, that's where I.
Hit it.
Not yet.
Wait. Now. Yeah. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Chris Arps in studio with you. Big thank you to Michael Butler, St. Louis Recorder of Deeds and the chairman of the Democratic Central Committee. Great stuff from Mr. Butler in that last segment. Great insight. If you missed any of it, don't forget you can download our podcast on the website, 971talk.com, or the radio.com app, which is absolutely free. Interesting to hear him talking about his organization, the Democratic Central Committee, coming out and speaking out against Better Together and city-county merger. And as you mentioned, that is an issue that is bringing together unlikely bedfellows.
Well, you know, Tony, you said earlier that I'm good at predictions.
Yes, you are.
One prediction I'm going to make is Michael Butler will be mayor of St. Louis in the future. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Even though he's a Democrat and our philosophies don't exactly line up, he is a smart guy.
Being a Democrat will give him an advantage.
I'm talking about for me. It's even though he's a Democrat and our views don't always align in terms of just the way he carries himself and his character and his just smart person and political instincts, I think he's destined for higher office.
So we've got one more segment in this hour. We got a big second hour of the Weekend Report coming up for you. 6 o'clock hour is going to start with Tim Fitch. Tim is on the St. Louis County Council. Of course, the County Council was tasked this week with replacing Steve Stanger, and they elected their council chairman, Sam Page, to be the new county executive. We're going to talk to him about how that decision came down. Chris mentioned earlier in the show that there's a little bit of controversy surrounding that pick. I want to talk to Tim about why the county decided to go with Sam Page and what it means for the future of the county executive and, once again, how that's going to affect Better Together and everything that is happening in St. Louis County. So keep it here for that. Also, the Weird News Challenge next hour is going to be huge. We're going to have three radio legends in the studio. Jill Devine from Y98, Tim Convey from Y98, and Trish Gazelle from 102.5 are going to compete in this week's Weird News Challenge because our good friend Skip Weber is not in this week. So don't go anywhere. Big second hour coming your way. One last thing to promote, the YouTube playlist. 971talk.com/weekendreport is our website. We're going to have to change that. We're going to have to get Ryan off there and add Brian. And we have on there our YouTube player. We update videos all throughout the week on there. You can also just go to the 971 mm-hmm. YouTube page and click on the Weekend Report playlist. So a couple ways that you can go and check that out. Right now, the top video on there is my 20-question sit-down with Tim Jones.
I saw that. Missouri Speaker of the House. I liked that on Twitter this morning or yesterday. I haven't had a chance to check it out
yet. Yeah, so we've brought back this this show that I was doing for our website about a year ago. Mm-hmm. We brought it back a couple months ago. It's 20 Questions with Tony Colombo, where I will select someone here from the radio station. We'll sit down and we'll ask them your questions, questions submitted by the listener. 20 questions, no holds barred, everything from the very serious to the very silly. And Tim Jones sat down with me earlier this week. You can check out that interview, that video right now at 971talk.com/weekendreport, or just go to the Weekend Report playlist on the 971 YouTube channel. Okay.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
After you interview the night maintenance guy, can I be on 20 questions?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
After the night maintenance guy.
Yeah, after the night maintenance guy, and then can you get to me?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. All right, I mentioned earlier, we only have a little bit of time left in this hour, so I want to get to this. I mentioned earlier that something made me hot this week. I want everybody to chime in here. We've got Brian McKenna, our new producer in the studio, Ryan Wiggins, who's here on our old producer, who's heading off to greener pastures. This week, we saw on Capitol Hill in a House committee hearing, Judiciary Committee hearing, a United States congressman show up to a hearing with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and a fake plastic toy chicken and put it in the seat of the United States Attorney General William Barr, and then him, this Representative Steve Cohen from Tennessee, and the committee chairman Jerry Nadler are just yucking it up, and they are just having the time of their lives. I thought it was disgusting, despicable. If a Republican did it to a Democrat, I would be just as upset about it. What is your opinion of this clown show that we saw on Capitol Hill?
I think you missed about two or three more adjectives, but I think what this shows is the Democrats are completely tone deaf when it comes to this whole issue. They feel that the American people care about impeachment. They care about Russian collusion and all of that stuff. They don't. I mean, it made good theatrics. They got good sound bites out of it. But in the long run, it just shows that they're tone deaf. The American people don't care about this.
Ryan, as somebody who's not as politically engaged as certainly Chris and you know, probably me too, how do you, when you see that, when you see a United States congressman in what is supposed to be a hearing on the Capitol with a bucket of fried chicken and a toy, do you just roll your eyes and go, these people are just stupid? Or does it make you feel worse about the country we live in?
Well, part of me thinks it worked because I actually noticed it. But it is just, is everything just Instagrammable now? I mean, we used to watch C-SPAN and be bored. And now it's probably more interesting because everybody's just trying to flash signs and get on TV. Like it's actually more entertaining, which is worse for the country. That's where I land.
Could you imagine if Jim Johnson were to do that to Eric Holder?
Yeah.
He would be called a racist. He would be called all kinds of names. It would be unacceptable and an absolute joke.
Tony, I just want to know, would you be as upset if a good conservative company like Chick-fil-A, if they would have been eating Chick-fil-A on the House floor?
I would have been, yes. Would. Okay. All right, we're getting a rap sign from Brian, so we got to go. But don't go anywhere. A big second hour coming your way next. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome into hour number two of the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Chris Arps. Ryan Wiggins is with us. Brian McKenna, brand new producer of the show, is here as well. Unfortunately, we just mentioned at the end of the first hour that Tim Fitch from the St. Louis County Council was supposed to be our guest this hour, but we just got word from him that he had to unfortunately cancel on us, and we completely understand the reasons for that, and we will hopefully have the councilman back very soon. So we're not going to talk to Tim Fitch right now. That's okay, because I have plenty to talk about with you fine gentlemen. Also want to remind you that coming up in the next segment, we will have a very special edition of the Weird News Challenge. For the first time ever, three St. Louis radio legends are going to be in the same studio at the same time competing for glory in the Weird News Challenge.
How
Tim Convey, how did you pull that off? I had to pay a lot of money.
Really? Okay.
It cost me a lot of money. Remember, you know, you know, I have three kids.
Yes.
Now I only have two.
Okay. Wow. So what dedication.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff, are you listening?
Mm-hmm. Had to give one up. Tim Convey from Y98, Jill Devine from Y98, and Trish Gazelle from 102.5 are all going to be here to compete in a very special edition of the Weird News Challenge in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. That's going to be a lot of fun. Right now, I want to get back into some of the big stories of the week with you guys. This story's been going on for a while now, but I don't think we've ever addressed it here on the show. And it came back up because this week, Bernie Sanders once again doubled down, reiterated his support of prisoners' right to vote. And this is not ex-felons that have done time. He's always been on that. He's always supported that. If you've done your time and you're out of jail, you should be allowed to vote. And right now in this country, mostly, there are some ways around it in certain crimes. But for the most part, if you are a felon, even if you've been out of jail for 20 years, you have forfeited your right to vote. I think there is a real discussion to be had on whether or not you should get your voting rights back after you've served your time. But that is not what Bernie is saying. Bernie is saying that people who are sitting in jail... he even went so far as to say the Boston bombers.
Yeah,
he said the Boston bomber is sitting in jail, it should be allowed to vote. So crimes of that level, people that are in for life, that are never even going to be out again, people that are sitting on death row, who are not even going to be around much longer, all of these people, he believes... should vote. What do you think of Bernie's idea?
I think this crazy idea just shows how beholden the Democratic Party is to their nut left-wing base. I think if Bernie did change his mind on this, the Twitterverse would have a complete conniption fit and would derail or hurt his presidential candidacy. Look, I think that if someone is a felon or has done time, and once they've done their time and paid their debt back to society, they should be able to get their voting privileges back. But if you're in jail, I don't understand why you should have the right to vote. When you vote, you're voting on things that affect your community, locally, statewide, or the country. You're in a cell. You're in a prison. What, you know, why are you voting on things that affect people that are outside the prison walls? Just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'll give you a quote here. This is Bernie Sanders. Trump and Republicans are working overtime to suppress vote, to make it harder for people of color and poor people to vote. We have got to make it clear, in my view, that if you are an American citizen, even if you did something terrible, we cannot take away your right to vote. What do you think, Ryan?
I have a lot of thoughts, and one of them is that it seems really politically fortunate for them that that also would maybe be an extra Democratic voting bloc.
Yeah.
Which, duh. I mean, we all know that politics is playing into this more than just, well, I'm really for their rights. Because if they really were voting Republican, do you think Bernie would be saying that? I mean, I hope he's a man of principle enough that he would. I doubt that he would. But the quote you just read, I would really like to know what Chris thinks when he hears, well, it's going to be so hard for people of color to vote.
Because they're all in jail.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
Really? That's okay?
Again, he's pandering to the black votes. That's one of the things that Democrats pander is for felons to get their voting privileges back.
Mm-hmm. Brian, I would have guessed you're a millennial. Is that correct?
I don't like to claim that.
Sure.
But thank you for pointing it
out. How old are you?
24.
If you don't mind me saying, wow, you're even younger than I thought you were.
24.
So we see Democrats like Bernie saying that criminals should be allowed to vote. Illegal aliens should be allowed to vote. 16-year-olds should be allowed to vote. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. We need to put dozens more people on the Supreme Court. All of these rules that they want to change, which is, to me, so obvious, and I think the point that we're kind of making here, so obvious, just a way to try to expand their voting block and reach out to people that they believe are of the liberal mindset. But they mask it in this way of saying, we're just trying to make it fair for everybody to get their voices heard. Is that working with millennials by and large,
See,
in your opinion?
Honestly, I don't know if I have a great perspective on this because I'm somewhat in a bubble. I hang out with a lot of people that I think we do think alike, which, you know, some would say maybe isn't good. You want to get some altering opinions. But I think a big part of this is younger people, they don't even focus on these smaller policies. I don't think anyone my age is going to see this and go, oh, that's cool. They're just saying Bernie Sanders or whoever it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, they're like, oh, we're going to the Bernie rally. But I honestly, this topic drives me nuts because just like Chris said, when you're not inside society, you're in a prison cell, you're going to try to decide what we need to do and our policies and so on and so forth. So it's ridiculous.
And let's just keep it real. Can you imagine the voter fraud and corruption that would go on sending ballots to a prison? I mean, seriously, you know all the corruption that goes in these Democratic precincts in Chicago and St. Louis. Can you imagine sending ballots to prisons?
Also, doesn't it open up some dangerous opportunities for politicians, especially ones running for, like, governor seats that have the ability to pardon criminals? Oh,
yeah.
That they can pander to these people and make them believe that they've got a chance at freedom if they elect certain people? I mean... Yeah. Just another level of corruption, in my opinion, that it opens up.
Or you can tell somebody, I put some money on your commissary card.
That's a great point. I was going to say, I know this is controversial, but I was going to say that Brian being 24, I don't think he is probably old enough to vote. I think we should raise the voting age to about 48, but your points are so good that maybe it should be like 41.
Now that I'm the new producer, Ryan's banned from the show.
I like it. You have the buttons. You can turn
the mic
off. Yeah, there you go. This is just a funny story to me. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, somebody that Chris supported in the last election, endorsed, held a 5K family fun run earlier this week. Did you see this?
I did not.
Okay, listen to this story. This is what it was called. It was called a family fun run supporting the Green New Deal. That's how it was advertised.
Okay.
A 5K family fun run supporting the Green New Deal. Many of the 400-plus runners, however, didn't realize that their $30 registration fee was actually going directly to AOC's campaign coffers. Many thought it was going to the environment because that's the way it was advertised. However, if you looked in the fine print on the website when you were registering and paying to, it said registration fees are contributions to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for Congress. They interviewed a whole bunch of people at the fun run, at the event while it was happening, and they said, why are you here? And they were saying, to support the environment. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Because, you know, they thought the money was going to environmental charities. Right. They thought that they were doing something to support the environment. And when they found out that, in fact, it was not that at all, they were pretty angry. And these are her people. Could we maybe start to see the some cracks in the armor of AOC? Or is she always going to have this power that
another prediction? AOC will be a one-term congressman.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah. First of all, she will be a one-term congressman because Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats will do everything in their power to make sure that she is primary and is going out of there.
But don't you think the constituents in that area
love
the fact that they're on the national stage so prominently?
The constituents in her area are ticked off that she...
The Democrats?
Let me finish, Tommy.
Okay, all right.
The constituents in her area are not pleased because she ran Amazon out of her district and ran them out of New York. People aren't pleased with that. Plus, this is the second scandal that has come about regarding her campaign.
Agreed.
If you remember, her campaign manager was accused of running some type of scam involving her campaign to enrich himself. So I think all of these things will eventually add up, and the Democratic establishment, the people that want her out, will be able to make the case that, hey, this woman is not what you think she is. She's corrupt.
Well, they're going to have to primary her then.
Yeah, they're going to primary
because she's not. She can't be beat by a Republican.
Yeah. Oh, no. They're going to primary. The Democratic establishment will primary her. Trust me.
To Brian's point earlier about the people that are voting for AOC, I don't think they look this closely at the issues. I think they see their congresswoman on television getting all kinds of national news, and that's it. They love her for that.
But during campaigns, Tony, you run campaign commercials, and campaign commercials are going to come out against her, showing the corruption with her campaign manager, the corruption with this fake Green New Deal thing.
Yeah,
people may be far left of center and like what she says, but people don't like to be lied to.
What do you think?
And also, it's kind of funny. I was I turned on Netflix last night, and I don't know if you guys have seen, but the first thing that popped up for me was a documentary about AOC and, I guess, the women of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched
the
trailer.
Just the Democrats.
Yeah, I think so.
Seriously, I bet it was. I think I saw a thing about that, a story about that, that none of the Republican congresswomen are featured.
But the trailer makes her look like an underdog who had to just fight and fight and fight to get where she is, and it just makes her look like a hero. Like, if I didn't know her and just watched the trailer, I'd think, oh my gosh, this is an incredible woman.
You think she's a one-term?
Absolutely
Ryan?
Not. I'm with you on that one. She's going to be in office for quite a while. Somebody who becomes that much of a celebrity just from being in Congress, yeah, they're sticking around.
Right, write it down, Tony, that I made the prediction.
Write it down, Tony.
And you guys bring all the crow. I'm going to bring all the crow in for you guys.
You're good
about
at predictions, but I can't get with you on this one. Beto O'Rourke said this week that civilization only has 10 years left to address climate change. 10 years.
10 years.
He unveiled his first major policy proposal. That's been one of the knocks on Beto, is that he's all talk, but he's never released any details on policy. Well, he did this week, and it is a $5 trillion 10-year plan that is supposed to put us on track for the goal of reaching, this is the United States of America, reaching zero carbon emissions by 2050, and which sounds, okay, that's so far away, who cares? But to be halfway there in this deal that he's laid out, $5 trillion 10-year plan to get us to 50% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030. 2030 is not as far away.
And does Robert Francis tell how he's going to pay for this $5 trillion, or is this just a broad proposal? Does he have any payment mechanisms?
Rich people.
Oh, okay.
Rich people and taxes.
I don't think
that's
rich people have $5 trillion. If you add up all the wealthy people in this country, $5 trillion.
Have you ever met rich people?
I don't think there's $5 trillion worth of wealth from all the rich people. Maybe as a country as a whole, but all the wealthy people's wealth does not add up to $5 trillion.
How long until the Democrats have to back off this crazy Green New Deal press to do? I mean, these landmarks that they're setting are just... insane.
But they can't, because that's what their base wants, and they need their base.
Do they?
Yes, they need their base ginned up and excited.
Their base
they want all this crazy new green deal, all that stuff. They can't back off of that stuff because that's what their base wants.
Outside of the top three, it just looks like these people are flailing. I mean, it really does. Like, I got to give Buttigieg credit for making it into the top three, because he really should have been an outsider. But Bernie, Biden, and Buttigieg. Outside of those three, everybody's just throwing out this crazy stuff. I mean, they're throwing out crazy stuff too, don't get me wrong. But they actually have a chance. These other people are just trying to get pressed.
I think Kamala's got a chance. I think Cory Booker's got a chance. I think Amy Klobuchar up in Minnesota, who's a Midwestern Democrat, I think she still has a chance.
I think Kamala's done. Okay. I think they've said you can't win the swing states we need. We're done with you.
Kamala will be whoever wins the nomination's vice presidential candidate.
We are out of time, so I want just a yes or no answer on this. I had my meltdown about the chicken thing in Congress. Was Bill Barr right to not testify this week? Yeah, I agree.
And all the reason he was right was because you can't have staffers questioning him when it should be the senators. That's BS.
And they're all lawyers anyway. Why do the lawyers need lawyers to ask their questions? I don't get it. All right, we got to take a break, but the Weird News Challenge is coming your way next. I'm getting verklempt. I'm so excited. Jill Devine, Tim Convy, and Trish Gazelle are all here to play the Weird News Challenge, so don't go anywhere. That's next on the Weekend Report here on FM News Talk 97.1. Together say it walking under the stars. I'm sitting. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Chris Arps, Brian McKenna on the wheels of steel. We have a packed studio. This is a show I need to remind folks. We've talked to Michael Butler earlier in the first hour. We just talked to Tim Fitch, who's on the St. Louis County Council a minute ago. If you missed any of this show or you want to hear it again, don't forget you can always download our podcast absolutely free, various ways. Pretty much anywhere you download podcasts, you can find this one. Two best ways to do so, though, are off our website, 971talk.com, or even better, the radio.com app. Radio.com app is absolutely free. You download it, you can stream the radio station 24/7. You can download all the podcasts here on the radio station, including this one right there with the click of your finger on your phone or your tablet or whatever you're listening to, so you don't miss any of this stuff, like serious stuff, like the discussion we had with Michael Butler and Tim Fitch, and then ridiculous stuff like what we're about to do.
Yeah. I'm sure glad that you and I both use smart mouths because we're sharing a mic.
I know, right? So the studio is absolutely cram-packed right now. I mentioned that we have a very special edition of the Weird News Challenge, and here's what is happening. We have three St. Louis legends in the room together at once. We have Trish Gazelle from 102.5.
Hello.
Who is a veteran of this game and this show. And we have two first timers, Jill Devine from
Y98. Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, no, no. Thank
Finally,
you. I know.
We got you.
Well, we could talk about that another time.
And Tim Convy from the Dave Glover Show on FM. I mean, from Y98.
It's radio's Tim Convy.
Thanks for having me.
It's radio's Tim Convy.
It's great to meet you guys.
Yes, great
it's
to
like,
meet you.
It's like music stations against talk people in here.
Right.
Finally, I have some buddies.
Chris has your check. So when we're done here,
okay, good.
Chris will get you all paid up.
What does that mean?
Don't appreciate cash that.
I don't know, but I want
Tim Convy doesn't come free.
I don't do this for free.
Yeah.
Well, neither do I.
All right.
Me
so
either.
I'm going to explain this to Tim and Jill and for people out there that maybe are hearing the first ever Weird News Challenge. This is America's favorite game show. It is growing across. We're syndicated in almost every market.
Okay.
And the home edition was just released this past Christmas.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so this is a big deal. What you're about to do is
it's really huge.
A big deal. This is episode 37.
Okay.
And how this works is I'm going to ask you guys a question. You buzz in using whatever buzzer sound you want to do, which we'll get to that in a second. And you try to answer the question. If you answer the question, you get a point. If you don't, the other people then have a chance at that point to buzz in as well.
But you don't lose anything if you're wrong.
If you're wrong, you don't lose any points.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because we encourage participation on the Weird News Challenge.
But just on the steals or on the initial answers?
You never lose points.
Okay.
You never lose points. So you should always venture a guess.
Okay.
If there's a tie at the end of all this, we will have a foolproof tiebreak system because in one of our first games ever, we had a tie, and I didn't have a tiebreak system, and it turned into a mess. So we fixed that.
You live and you learn, Tony.
Yep, that's right. Now, I need to ask you guys this before we get started. We have something called the Katie Fitzpatrick rule. Mm-hmm. The Katie Fitzpatrick rule means the question has to be finished before anyone is allowed to buzz in. Sometimes we enact the Katie Fitzpatrick rule, sometimes we don't. Trish is not a fan of the Katie Fitzpatrick rule.
I like to buzz in when I know it.
You want to be able to buzz in anytime you want.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They can't see you nodding your head, Tim. All right.
So the
it's Radio Tim. Radio's Tim.
Radio's
Convy.
Tim Convy.
This is gonna be fun.
It is gonna be fun.
So I just yell my name?
You or a buzzer sound. So
that could be your name. Mine is Bloop.
Yeah, she's Bloop.
Bloop.
Yep. What sound do you wanna use? You can yell your name.
I just want to say Jill.
Okay. Test your buzzer then.
Jill.
All right. Tim Convy.
I'm going to just say Convy.
All right. Test your buzzer then.
Convy.
All right. I like it. All right. Everybody comfortable?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So Chris is actually going to co-host with me because we don't have enough microphones in here.
So it's just us three playing?
It's just you three playing. And because we have three St. Louis legends competing, this is going to be St. Louis trivia.
Oh, man. Oh.
Typically, Weird News Challenge is like news stories that are happening right now, but we are playing a special edition of the game, St. Louis Trivia, as answered by St. Louis radio legends. Mm-hmm. Everybody ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You understand the rules? Everybody feeling comfortable?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode number 37, question number one. The St. Louis Blues are currently in the playoffs, and the Stanley Cup was right here at our radio stations this week. How many times have the Blues won?
Convy.
Trish Gazelle.
Oh, sorry.
Oh!
I was sure I got it. I'm sorry.
You didn't get it.
I slid in there with the blue. Okay.
Trish Gazelle.
Zero.
That is correct.
Thanks.
Hold on. I got to get a pen out so I can keep score.
Trish always answers so confidently.
Yeah, you guys, listen. I want to warn you about Trish. She's either on it. Oh, I gotta do two T's.
The game could be over very quickly.
I'm gonna do T
R,
and then T I.
I won like the first time I played. I won six times in a row, and then nothing.
She won 6 weeks in a row, and then lost six weeks in a row, and then retired, and then recently came back.
That much?
She's a veteran.
Ah.
All right, listen, there's only six questions, so every point is really a big deal.
Okay.
All right? Follow up to that first one. Another point on the line. How many times have the Blues been in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Jill
Devine.
Zero.
That is incorrect.
Convy.
Yes, sir.
Two?
That is incorrect.
Bloop?
Yes.
One.
That is incorrect.
Can I say again?
No, you're done. Three times.
Oh.
Blues have played for the Blues have never won a Stanley Cup, but they have been in the finals three times. It was their first three seasons.
Oh, I thought it was just the first two.
67-68, 68-69, and 69-70. They went to the finals their first three seasons in existence, and they never won a single game in the Stanley Cup finals series.
They were
swept every single time.
LGB.
All right, question number three. Here's my partner, Chris Arps.
All right, here is a real tough one. Put your thinking caps on. What St. Louis institution is home to such desserts as the tiramisu?
Convy.
Who got it? You got to make a decision.
Oh, it's up to me?
It was her.
I know who got it.
Okay, well, you tell me because I wasn't paying
Jill
attention.
Devine.
Okay, Jill.
Ted Drews.
Very good.
All right.
Ooh, I'm glad you were here because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you got to be listening. All right, Trish has a point. Jill has a point. Tim Convy's here. Three questions to go.
Convy's taking on the role of Chris Arps this week.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Question number four. The first arched steel truss bridge in the world was built in St. Louis over the Mississippi River. What is the name of that bridge?
Bloop.
Yes, Trish.
The Eads Bridge?
That is correct.
Yes!
That is correct.
Yeah. So there's like no time limit on how long it takes you to
answer
either.
I was going to
give
her, she was getting close to getting a warning.
Nice
but
job.
She got
nice
in
job.
There.
Nice job.
All right, only two questions left.
This feels unfair because they both lived in St. Louis
so much
longer
say
than
this.
Me.
I just want to say this.
What?
Look, you.
What?
That's right. I did
really?
It. I did it.
Really?
I did it.
Really?
Yep,
really? By maybe like a year? Maybe.
He's wearing his St. Louis Blues shirt.
Yeah, it's
her fault.
It's an age joke.
No, he was making fun of our age.
I know. I got it.
I'm sorry.
I get bitter when I'm losing.
Yeah. I want to say something to you right now.
Sure, Tony.
There's only two questions left, and Trish has 2 points.
Right.
So you have to get them both just to force.
Do or die.
Yeah.
I get it.
If Jill or Trish get the next one, you may as well just leave.
Okay. Right.
All right.
I'm picking it up.
I feel good.
Chris Arps.
I feel good about this one for you, too.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
The Rams may have left St. Louis, but professional football is coming back. What football league?
XFL.
Very good.
That's correct.
Yep. Very good.
Sorry. Football league recently announced it's putting a team in St. Louis, the XFL.
So exciting.
Uh-oh, all right,
he's on the board.
Here we go. I forgot to read this is like the people listening right now are on the edge of their seat. If they're listening in their car, they've had to pull over because this is the last question. If Tim or Jill get it will force the tiebreaker with Trish. If Trish gets it, she wraps it up before we get to the tiebreaker.
No pressure.
Ready? Here we go. Last question. We started with the Blues and the fact that they've never won the Stanley Cup. On the other hand, the Cardinals have won the second most World Series championship. Trish Gazelle.
11.
That is correct.
Yes.
Oh my.
I told you guys. Oh,
the Cardinals have won the second most World Series championships in Major League Baseball. How many times have the Cardinals won the World Series? The answer is 11. Trish Gazelle has won again.
So that's 7 wins for her?
That is 7 wins for her.
So wait, am I now how far away am I from Skip?
You're one behind Chris.
Okay.
Who has been winning recently, and you are let's see, you're up to 7, so you're 3 behind. No, you're 4. I can't count. 4 behind Skip.
Okay.
Skip has 11. Chris has 8. You now have 7 victories.
Wait, can I be added to the list though?
You have to win.
Yeah, you have to win.
No, but like, can I be asked to come back?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Can I be taken off that list?
Yeah. You never made it.
Okay.
You never made it on there. All right, let's do the tiebreaker because since I take the time to write these questions, I like to use them all on the air. So it means nothing except pride. No reason to buzz in. Everybody will just get a chance to guess, okay? This would have been the tiebreaker. Closest guest wins. To the closest 1,000, what is the population of the city of St. Louis?
The city.
The city.
We don't to the have closest to buzz 1,000.
No, just answer.
Ooh.
Jill, you go first.
Oh, no.
What is the population of the city of St. Louis to the closest? You don't have to like get down
I'm
to
guessing.
Like exact numbers. Just give me a 1,000.
60?
Okay.
Oh, we're in the thousands for this?
Mm-hmm.
What?
The population of the city. Get out of your phone.
No, it's cool.
You don't even, it doesn't even mean anything.
220,000.
You feel that? You feel that?
Tony's getting angry.
You have to do this? You have to do the phone.
Cheater.
I have no idea.
Well, just guess.
Why don't you take a guess? Jill made a terrible guess.
What were your guesses?
She made a terrible guess. You can make a terrible guess.
What did you
60,
say?
I said 220.
60 is like the size of
Florence.
Yeah,
that's insane. Yeah. Right.
You all are insane. You just said to make a guess. Like, we don't have to.
She might be going low in that strategy.
And that's the point. I'm saying you made a bad guess, so he can make a bad guess.
You said what?
220,000, which I feel like I'm off.
Yeah, a lot. 400,000.
It is 309,000.
In the city of St. Louis?
So I would have won that.
So Trish Gazelle would have been closest. And she would have gotten another. She would have won
Isn't
in the tiebreaker, too.
You're pretty cool.
That's amazing.
And she was only off by 100,000.
He's so mad. No, I wasn't. Like
hey,
80.
You got the XFL.
90,000.
Jill was close to the population of people in this room.
She could have been going low for strategy.
Yeah.
Right. That's See? Exactly right.
All right. So Trish wins. Jill, you want to come back and play sometime?
Yeah.
So you're happy to be
I'm
here.
Excited.
Well,
yes.
I really am.
Thank you.
I really appreciate
Thanks
you coming.
Thanks for asking me.
You don't look as happy.
I am busy.
Oh, boy.
No, I would love to come back anytime.
He wants to play half-wits because he's really good at that.
Yeah.
Bleh.
It's not for everybody. I get that.
I want you two to know. I want you two to know, Trish and Jill, that it was supposed to be Glover in here today, and he said no. So Tim's just kind of a fill-in backup.
Yes. He said no because he didn't
Story of my
he
life.
Scared.
Yeah, you guys were...
He was scared.
You guys were on the A-list.
Oh.
It's supposed to be
Glover
you two and
was
Glover.
Scared. Why? Yeah. What happened to Glover?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask him.
He did not want to go up against us.
I think that's probably what it was.
He's scared.
Yeah.
He's scared.
So
okay.
Just so you know, he was a...
Backup?
Backup fill-in. You guys weren't.
Anyway. You like a backup.
That's your life story.
Mm-hmm. I know.
All right. We got to give Chris's microphone back. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations, Trish Gazelle. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
All right. We'll let everybody calm down from this great edition of the Weird News Challenge. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
As we bathe in a wonder, we fall alone when we're
reason. Oh, yeah. Pretty.
All right, we gotta wait for it. Watch. Watch here. Watch here. Here. Gotta wait.
Oh!
Closing Woo! Time jam. The Woods Experience. Perry Woods music is the soundtrack of the Weekend Report. You know what you should do?
What's that?
Support.
Oh, support local music and make sure you get your dog spayed and neutered.
I don't go with that one, but support local music. Big thank you to my buddy Perry, who, of course, provides all the music here on the Weekend Report. You can download his music pretty much anywhere you download music. Just search The Woods Experience, iTunes, Amazon, everywhere you go. All right, so everybody's coming down from another exciting episode of the Weird News Challenge. Tim Convey from Y98 has stuck around with us. The girls had to go. Big thank you to Jill Devine from Y98 and Trish Gazelle from 102.5. You didn't do well. How do you feel about that?
I'd like to have done better. You know, was it completely fair in terms of the officiating? No, but
whoa.
You think you
beat them in on a buzzer?
I think there were two buzzers that I won.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So what are you working the ref right now for next time or what?
No, I don't. I just
Tim Convey is very competitive. He does not like to lose.
He's working the ref.
Yeah, I'm going to learn from this one, and I'll come back stronger next time.
We once on the Dave Glover show, we were out at a live event at a restaurant on a Friday. He came in to be with us like he is most Fridays and played Battle of the Halfwits on the Dave Glover show. Yeah. We had a child, like a 12-year-old, sit in and play the game with us. And when this child would answer a question right, and Tim thought he maybe buzzed in first or didn't, or maybe the kid didn't give exactly the right answer and Dave gave him the points anyway, Tim would get would berate the child.
Oh. Chris, if you saw the kid, you'd understand. She had an attitude.
He doesn't like to lose. Funny. He does not like to lose.
I didn't like the way she played the game.
There you go.
But I appreciate you sticking around.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in here today.
Is there a way that I can win this segment?
So yes, I will award you this segment. You have won the segment.
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So Skip Weber's not here today. Normally Skip plays the game with us and then sticks around for this segment. And so I'll just ask you, what's happening at Weber Chevrolet?
We got some great deals. Come down there as soon as you can. It's a great time to take a look at the cars. We got some new 2020s out yet?
Yeah,
we got
2020s
you can take a look at.
Sure. That's amazing.
Great deals. I'll beat any deal. Just go to Weber Chevrolet, ask for Tim Convey, and I will hook you up.
Tell him you heard on the radio from Tim Convey that this deal.
You will beat any deal.
Beat any deal. Yeah. Yes. Take any offer.
Yeah.
Any offer.
I'll take any offer.
I'll take any offer.
I love it.
Free undercoat under oil change for buying a new vehicle. Let's give it away. Give it all away.
We'll talk, okay? I do have with my sales team.
I do have a Weber Chevrolet story, but I'm going to wait and talk to Skip when he gets back next week. But this past week, we bought...
Oh, yeah. I remember talking about
that. A wholesale change. We traded in my wife's car and got her a car. We traded in my truck and I got a newer truck.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got, we've been talking about it for a long time. My daughter turns 16 next month. We got her little
Corvette.
Car as well.
Get her Corvette?
Yes. No? She's a Camaro person.
Camaro?
Yeah, she's a Camaro.
And that's just a great example of the way that we take care of our customers every day. At Weber Chevrolet.
So we'll talk about that later. How about you? What is happening with Tim Convey? You got anything to shill right now?
Things are TimConveyStuff.com always has some good stuff. Lots of shows. I'm a little lighter on the comedy shows this summer because people don't
on purpose.
Well, yeah, people just don't go to shows as much during the summer when the weather gets a little bit nicer. It people just aren't out as much. Mm. So I make a point.
So our
not
booking.
To,
okay, so. It's not that bookings are less. It's just you take the time off because maybe the clubs aren't as full.
At a lot of clubs, I could probably get booked more because they're sort of their you know, guys like me, they're like, oh yeah, sure, come to the club. But it's not all, you know, it's a lot of driving. I usually have to take time off from the radio show to go out and do stand up. So I, yeah, I pull it back in a little bit for the summer months, and then in the fall, it really hits it. So a few shows coming up, stuff I'm excited about. But yeah, for the most part, I'll be on the road a lot more in the fall.
So I wanted to talk about a couple of things with you while we have a little bit of time left in this show. And we're going to get Chris's opinion on this as well. Weird News Challenge just now. We talked about the fact that the Stanley Cup was here in the building doing its media tour. A lot of people lining up, taking pictures with the cup. I think you did, right?
I did, yeah.
In your studio, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you had a chance to...
We interviewed Howie Barrow, the guy who is the keeper of the cup, one of a few keepers of the cup, and they just have pretty amazing stories.
Did he have his white gloves on?
He had the white gloves
nice.
On. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Such a cool guy. I mean, Canadian, so automatically likable. And he had pretty amazing stories about following it around with the players and being responsible for it.
Now, I'm not a hockey fan. Explain to me how the cup, you don't keep the thing when you win the Stanley Cup championship, right? Don't they just put your name on it and it goes somewhere? Do you keep it?
You do. It's the only trophy in sports that it's just that one all the time. Mm-hmm. They don't make new ones, and that team maintains control of it until the next season.
For a year. Okay. You hold it for a year.
The individual players will get a night or two with it in their hometowns to throw parties, to do whatever they want. A lot of them will just like eat chicken wings out of it.
Yeah. Every player gets to take it with them for a couple of days. So it's been at the top of mountains.
Oh,
it's been on boats.
Somebody baptized a baby out of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. People have eaten cereal out of it. They've done all kinds of...
I tried to eat popcorn out of it. And the guy was like, no, we're not
going to let you do that.
I was like, I got a really cool idea for a video, though. I'm going to Instagram it.
It's okay. No, we're not gonna. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not. I know how this works.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw me when you had the cup in your studio, and I walked in here the other day and I saw it in there. I don't know if you noticed me or not, but I almost immediately ran in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Because I have and I didn't even know, I had remembered hearing that it was going to come in, but as I was coming in that day, I didn't remember that it was going to be here. And so I made eye contact with it, and I almost fell down and started to scramble the other
direction. The cup looked you right back in the eye.
I did. Yeah. And it's because I have a sports superstition, especially maybe if the Blues would have won a Stanley Cup, even if it was in the 70s. If we had one time won it, I wouldn't be so afraid to have everybody in the city posing with it and taking these pictures. Do you have any of that sports superstition?
I didn't touch it because so many people were around and said, don't touch it, don't touch it. I took our picture. I got very close. You know, we did the whole interview with the actual cup in there. But I did not physically lay a finger on it for that reason because so many people were so adamant about it. So I don't know. I'm not, just in case, because I would be, that is the type of thing I'd beat myself up about if they were to lose. You know?
Ryan, you guys, are you sports fans? Are you into that superstition at all? Is that something that you believe
in? I would have been a lot more excited to see it and get a picture with it, but I know what you're saying. And something that really freaks me out when I see, like I saw Tim's picture and a few others, they all look like they're touching the cup in the picture. Like they have their hand pointing at it and it looks like they're holding the cup. And I'm like, no, what are you doing?
Ryan?
My thing is a little less sports related. This is weird, but of all the lords of Canada, Lord Stanley is my least favorite. So I just
Tim
don't.
Tim was waiting for the joke. I could see his eyes waiting for your joke.
I'm satisfied.
We're gonna miss
you
him.
I'm satisfied. You think this is funny?
Yeah. We're not kidding, are we?
So who's?
I'm waiting for the joke.
That was the joke. That was the joke.
Which Lord's cups are you touching then, if not Stanley's?
Oh, like Lord Tom. Lord Corey,
sure,
is one of the better ones. He's more recent.
Yeah.
Ethan.
Yeah. Lord Jaden.
I don't have a.
Give the mic back to Brian.
I don't have a superstition when it comes to touching and all that, but you do get goosebumps when you see like a Stanley Cup trophy or you see a World Series trophy.
Yeah.
I remember when I worked in Jim Talent's office, they gave him it was about three quarters the size of the Super Bowl trophy that the Rams won. And I saw that thing and was holding it and I was like, wow, this is the Super Bowl trophy almost. So it is, you see that and you're like, wow, this is
Yeah, I knew
majestic.
I knew it was coming in. We'd get to do the interview, take pictures, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this will be cool." But when he rolled it in here and he took it out of the case, and so many other people—I mean, I really got weird about it.
Yeah,
it was cool.
You know, like the Super Bowl trophy, except for hockey. It's like the Super Bowl trophy, except for hockey.
Right, right.
Isn't that crazy?
It's literally his last day on the show. There's 2 minutes to go, and the last day on the.
Now he's Mr. Comedian.
He hit it out of the park with the Lord Stanley thing, and then I did...
Lord Stanley's cup. Yeah, it took me a while to get that.
He had to lean over Brian's face to tell that joke.
He smells all right, though.
Don't do a don't do Joe Biden on his hands. No, his hair.
Rub my shoulders. Just for a minute.
I had a question for you, and I don't remember it now. After all that, I don't remember what
hockey,
I was
gonna, baseball?
I don't remember what I was going to say to you. I don't have any idea what it was. No, I don't. It was something about, I'm sure it was something about the Stanley. Oh, I know what it was.
There we go.
Stanley Cup is, that's one of the cool things about it. You just mentioned all those things, how it's been, people have eaten chicken wings out of it and cereal out of it. It's been at the top of a mountain. It's been on a boat. It's been, you know, it's been dropped and dented and damaged. So they hand it over to these hockey players every year to go and do literally whatever they want with it. But the rest of the year, when it's in the care of the NHL and its handlers, it's treated like a delicate egg.
Yeah.
Like every move is deliberate. They wear those white gloves when they touch it. They gingerly move it around, and then they hand it to some guy who starts rolling it down the hall, you know, a hockey player when he wins it.
Yeah, a couple of guys are playing catch with it all of a sudden. Yeah, it is a little weird. And we were allowed to touch it. I mean, I think we thought because of the superstitions that we couldn't, and the guy's like, oh, no, you can pretty much – I mean, again, he wouldn't let me eat popcorn out of it, but everything else was totally fair game. But you're right. When he takes care of it, he's careful.
Is this the trophy that they've been giving out since they've had the Stanley Cups? Is it old?
This one is very old, but the cup itself – they did, in fact, have to replace. They decided this one, the original, was too fragile to travel any longer. But I still think this one's been around since the late 70s.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
And then they replaced the bands every 13 years, I want to say.
So they
can
continue to add teams.
Good lucky number.
Exactly.
Yeah, otherwise, because they put the team roster every year, that every team that wins it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to drop off at some point.
Because it'd be 8 feet tall.
Because you can't keep, or it would be, or the print on it would be, you know, the size of a postage stamp or something. All right, that is going to wrap up this thrilling segment. Thanks, Tim. And
I blame Wiggins.
Yeah.
I would say goodbye to Wiggins, but he's moving on to the Dave Glover Show.
Moving on up.
Brian McKenna, his first show here with us. Great stuff. If you missed anything, don't forget you can always download our podcasts at radio.com. The radio.com app is absolutely free. Favorite the radio station. You can stream us 24/7, and you can download the Weekend Report podcast and all the other podcasts here on the radio station. Tim Convy, one more time, if people want to follow you, websites, social media, all that good
all
stuff.
All social is at Tim Convy, TimConvy. Website is timconvystuff.com.
All right, very good. That is going to do it for another edition of the Weekend Report. For my partner Chris Arps, our producer Ryan Wiggins, our new producer Brian McKenna, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 5 o'clock back here on FM News Talk 97.1. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.